OTBs.com. Want to place a wager from home? Phone OTBs, dial a bet toll free. 1-800-724-4000. 1-800-724-4000. OTB in Steuben County.
You've heard the expression, it's the thought that counts. I'm Stephen Walker. At my jewelry workshop in Andover, I'll do my best to deliver quality craftsmanship and excellent design. I use the finest precious metals and gemstones, but I know that jewelry really means more. Jewelry is a declaration of a person's unique individuality. You want it to express love, faith, and pride. It really is the thought that counts, so say those things beautifully in the language of Celtic design. Come discover the tradition at Walker Metalsmiths at 1 Main Street in Andover or on the web at walkermetalsmiths.com.
I got a little bit of hope, like a soap on a rope, sweeter than sour, getting thinner by the hour, falling fast, and I'm running out of gas, mugging on your sister, smart as Bobby Fischer, still I couldn't get arrested, though I got more hooks than Madonna got looks, just like that AC/DC song, come on baby, shake me all night long, all I wanna do, is get up early in. Somebody push me through the door. I've been sleeping on the floor. 31 flavors, listen to the neighbors through the wall. At a debutante ball, Cooper Light and Vista, got them on the Lisa. So much for the late rent, cause your money's spent, and it's cold inside. But just like that bare-naked lady song, hot like wasabi when I'm next to your body. All I wanna do is stand up early in.
KPQ, Cornell, New York.
Good morning. My name is Eric Massa, and for the last 14 months, I've had the pleasure and honor of being the federal representative, the congressman from New York's 29th Congressional District. This will, in all probability, be my last broadcast. And it is such that it will be. I'd like to open with a statement. Bear with me while I read this. it will not be easy to do so. Then, I will go through a series of conversational items, and as always, as we have done here every week, I'll take your phone calls, and you can call in at, I'm trying to remember the number.
607-324-1596.
All right, so let me get right to the crux of the matter, if I could. I'm going to read verbatim a statement that I published within the last 72 hours. 2 days ago, as I sat reading my new annual CAT scans, having been told that the anomalies in the films may or may not be scar tissue, I decided to finally take the advice that my doctors have repeatedly given me, and that is to take care of my family and myself before my profession. After I decided not to run again, I was told for the first time that a member of my staff believed I had made statements that made him feel, quote-unquote, uncomfortable. I was told that a report had been filed with the Congressional Ethics Committee. At no point prior to this had any member of the Ethics Committee communicated with me directly. In fact, I first read it about on the Internet. And I'll up this by saying I still haven't heard anything officially from any member of the Ethics Committee. However, I own this reality. There is no doubt in my mind that I did in fact use language in the privacy of my own home and in my inner office that after 24 years in the Navy might make a chief petty officer feel uncomfortable. In fact, there's no doubt that this ethics issue is my fault and mine alone. But in the incredibly toxic atmosphere that is Washington, D.C., with the destruction of our elected leaders having become a blood sport, especially in talk radio and on the Internet, there is also no doubt that an ethics investigation would tear my family and my staff apart. Some would say that this is what happens when you stand apart from political parties, which clearly I've done. Others would say that this is what happens when a non-politician goes to Washington, D.C. I want to make something very, very clear. My difficulties are of my own making, period. I am also aware that blogs and radio will have a field day with this in today's destructive and unforgiving political environment, and perhaps that is as it should be. In that investigators would be free to ask anything about me going back to my birth. I simply cannot rise to that level of perfection. Almighty God knows that I am a deeply flawed and imperfect person. During long car rides and in the early hours of the evening, late at night, and always in private, I know that my own language failed to meet the standards I set for all around me and myself. I fell short. And I believe now, as I have always believed, that it is not enough simply to talk the talk. I rather must take action to hold myself accountable. Therefore, effective 5 p.m. tomorrow, Monday, the 8th of March, I will resign my position as the federal representative in New York's 29th Congressional District in the 111th Congress. I do so with a profound sense of failure and a deep apology to all those whom, for the past year, I tried to represent as our nation struggles with problems far greater than anyone can possibly imagine. I hope that my family, constituents, fellow members of Congress, and his staff accept this apology as being both genuine and heartfelt, and I wish for them and all Americans only the best. I will take all actions possible to ensure that my personal health is secured and that I know that mine is a far more fragile lifeline than most. For the millions of fellow cancer survivors with whom I share this experience, they, more than anyone else, will understand the honesty and openness of this statement. I ask that members of the press respect my privacy, the privacy of my family and my staff. That was the statement that I issued. By the way, within an hour of it, we had TV stations pounding on the door well into the night. I woke up last night in the middle of the evening and realized something and went to the Internet where I had not gone for several days. Because I haven't been reading the press. I haven't been looking at the blogs. I haven't been listening to radio. Because say what they will say. And others have now realized in the early morning hours of Sunday the 7th what I realized late at night. That there's a reason that this has all happened. Frankly, one that I was not aware of. And I realized it after reading an article by Laurie Kelman. New York Representative Eric Massa resigns under ethics cloud. It's an Associated Press statement. She writes here, later in the day, Massa released a statement saying that after learning he had a reoccurrence of cancer, he learned he was the subject of an ethics complaint by a male staffer who felt, quote-unquote, uncomfortable during exchange with Massa, and goes on to write, the exchange reportedly had sexual overtones. Let me tell you what the exchange was because I now believe, even though no one has told me anything, and that's the way it works with the Ethics Committee in the United States Congress, it's not like a normal court. You don't get to know who your accuser is. You don't know, get to know what you're being accused of. Anyone can accuse you of anything. And the trade-off for that is that this is all supposed to be incredibly secret until and of such time there are findings of fact. That's the trade-off, because in the highly charged political world, anybody can say anything about anyone. I have come to find out that on New Year's Eve, I went to a staff party. It was actually a wedding for a staff member of mine. There were over 250 people there. I was with my wife. And in fact, we had a great time. She got the stomach flu. I went down to sing Auld Lang Syne. And with cameras on me, and I'm talking three of them, filming me, I danced with the bride and I danced with the bridesmaid. Absolutely nothing occurred. I said goodnight to the bridesmaid. I sat down at the table where my whole staff was. All of them, by the way, bachelors. One of them looked at me, and as they would do after, I don't know, 15 gin and tonics and goodness only knows how many bottles of champagne, a staff member made an intonation to me that maybe I should be chasing after the bridesmaid. And his points were clear and his words were far more colorful than that. And I grabbed a staff member sitting next to me and said, well, what I really ought to be doing is fracking you. And then tousled the guy's hair and left. Went to my room because I knew the party was getting to a point where it wasn't right for me to be there. Now, was that inappropriate of me? Absolutely. Am I guilty? Yes. Now, that staff member never said to me that he felt uncomfortable. He never came to me. He never said word to me. In fact, he never went to anybody. Somebody went to another staff member who was uncomfortable for him. It was a third-party political correctness statement. And then that individual, in turn, from what I read in the newspapers, because again, no one said a word to me, went to the Ethics Committee. And in fact, here I read, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said Wednesday that he was told the week of February 8th by a staff member in Massa's office about allegations of misconduct. Hoyer directed Massa to report the allegations to the House Ethics Committee within 48 hours. Steny Hoyer has never said a single word to me at all, ever, not once. Not a word. This is a lie. It's a blatant false statement. And that's what triggered me to understand what in fact is going on. I traveled in the early weeks of February to California to see my parents who are in their 80s. I got off an airplane. My chief of staff called me and said, Eric, the Ethics Committee is doing an inquiry and they in fact are interviewing all the members of the staff. My first question was, is this an investigation? Go find out. The answer was no. Make sure. Go back. No, there is no investigation. What is this about? We don't know. And in fact, there was another ethics violation because someone released a letter under my name for fundraising, which is not supposed to happen. I authorized the letter for me to raise money for myself, not for an organization to raise money for me. It was a simple miscommunication. It was a simple mess up. Don't want to use salty language. And the reality is, that's where we thought it was. It wasn't until after I stood in front of the American people and said, I simply can't do this anymore. I don't have the life's energy to put up with this. Did anyone say anything to me about a House investigation concerning this? This is what Congress has come to. The government is not our enemy, but it is broken beyond repair. It is destroying and consuming itself. And if you think it's not, if you think that's not true, then I say again, Hoyer said he got confirmation within that time frame. The committee received the report and reviewed the allegations. Never before in the history of the House of Representatives has a sitting leader of the Democratic Party discussed allegations of House investigations publicly before findings of fact. Ever. And then you turn to Roll Call newspaper this morning. Massa's resignation, good news for healthcare backers. And the light comes on that with the departure of Congressman Neil Abercrombie, who is running for the governorship of Hawaii, and with the tragic and very sad passing of my personal good friend, Jack Murtha, mine is now the deciding vote on the healthcare bill. And this administration and this House leadership have said, quote unquote, they will stop at nothing to pass this health care bill. And now they've gotten rid of me and it'll pass. You connect the dots. You ask the question, why is it from February 8th until now, no one said a word to me about anything? Why is it that somebody who hears about something concerning a third party is now offended for them, and that rises to the level of a House investigation? The forces that be, because they have said very clearly, and you've heard it in the newspaper, you've seen it in the press, that the future of the Democratic Party rests on passing this health care bill. They could get anyone to say anything about me concerning anything at all. And in fact, they did, because just recently, on my friend Rob Lonsberry's radio program and on his blog, remember the guy who a month ago was saying what a good guy I was? He wrote an entire blog about sexual misconduct allegations against me while I was in the Navy. Yeah, that's what he said. You want to know what they were? I got them right here in front of me, in color, in black and white. How many of you have ever crossed the line? How many of you have ever gone on the equator? The United States Navy, for a century, has had a tradition, where when you cross the line, those who are not initiated are then initiated. It's called polywogs and shellbacks. I got someone here. Look at these pictures. You tell me. Pick up the microphone. Now, this is one of my prized possessions. It is the cruise book from the USS New Jersey. This is a deployment I made in 1983 and 1984. It was a year-long deployment. We went to Beirut, and that year was one of the most intense of my life. It was the year that I witnessed the death of my Naval Academy roommate, just literally within arm's reach, figuratively, of me when I was in Beirut. This is our cruise book. We took the polywogs, those who had never crossed the line. They went through chutes full of garbage, many of them naked. They had to stick their faces in the crotches of the holy crew, the guys that come aboard from King Triton. We had a drag contest. People walking around with things that could only marginally be described as grossly obscene looked through the lens of 2001. This was the 1980s. Does this go completely against what our norms and ethics are today? Absolutely.
Can I just say, Eric, that I'm looking at the official yearbook for the USS Dreadnought 83-84. These are full-color photos, properly published and printed. And
this is what was published.
Yeah, and it's certainly not a... The only person featuring here is certainly not you. There are probably
I was there.
The whole crew's there.
The whole crew was there. I make no bones about it. The United States Navy in 1983 and 1984 was incredible body. Incredible. And then there's the case of someone, because it's always anonymous, who anonymously said, I misconducted myself while on deployment. Well, let me tell you a little story about that. And I'm going to keep this as family-oriented as I could. I was on a ship. It was in the Persian Gulf. It was during Desert Shield and Desert Storm. I was standing port and starboard watches. 4 hours on, 4 hours off. I had a roommate. By the way, you ever seen a stateroom on a ship, you'll know it's room for bunk beds, a pull-down shelf, and a sink. And that's it. You literally can't move two people in that room.
Very small state.
It's a very small state. Without getting into each other's knickers. You can't. I got off watch early. There were two of us living in there. We were both married. We were both in our early 20s. Actually, I was older because I was a department head. I was a lieutenant commander. And I arrived back early from that and opened the door. And not to put too quite a light on it, but the other gentleman was busy remembering his spouse. And I'll let your imaginations run wild. And I walked in, and instead of embarrassing him, I smacked him on the leg, said, you need any help with that, let me know, and I went to bed. And he was so hideously embarrassed, he moved out of the stateroom because he couldn't take it. Ladies and gentlemen, we had been at sea for 4 months. This is 1991, so let me get it straight. In the decades of the 80s, I offended someone. In the decades of the 90s, I offended someone. And this is what it comes down to on Bob Lonsberry. But here's
the absolute hilarity of this situation. Here's the irony. By attacking me, people like Bob Lonsberry ensure that the healthcare debate that we have been raging for a year and this bill that I have been fighting against since day one is in fact going to pass because he was too ignorant of the facts to realize that it was a setup. And that's not me speaking. That's the Associated Press. That's Roll Call magazine. Now, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm holding myself to a higher standard because there's no doubt, folks, that in the privacy of my home and in the privacy of my inner office, my language was inappropriate. But when I voted against the cap and trade bill, the phone rang and it was the chief of staff to the President of the United States of America, Rahm Emanuel. And he started swearing at me in terms and words that I hadn't heard since that crossing the line ceremony on the USS New Jersey in 1983. And I gave it right back to him in terms and words that I know are physically impossible. I told him to do things that I know the human anatomy cannot do. There's no doubt in my mind. And then it got quiet. And I said, Rahm, let's have a conversation. You pretend that you're the acting, you're the chief of staff to the President of the United States of America, and I'm a sitting member of Congress. And he said, there's no reason for you to swear at me. I said, you're the one that unlit on me first, and I'm going to give as good as I get. So if Rahm Emanuel wants to come after me, maybe he ought to hold himself to the same standards I'm holding myself to and resign. Here's a letter I've received. It's one of hundreds. Let me just read this to you. This is what it's like today out there, just so you know. Dear Congressman Massa, perhaps you remember me. I'm the professor. Although I teach at Geneseo, I live in Pittsburgh. I live in your district. I was one of your most ardent supporters. By my reckoning, I contributed $625 to your last campaign. I attended two of your house parties, as well as the Howard Dean fundraiser in May of 2008. Once we talked on the phone, when you called me at my home, I displayed a Massa for Congress sign in my front yard and another on my car bumper. I was, however, dismayed to learn that you voted against the health care bill. And then in bold, you voted with the Republicans. When I was one of your ardent supporters, I believed you were a Democrat. That means voting with members of your party. But you voted with the Republicans in bold. When I was one of your ardent supporters, I certainly did not think that you would be an independent voice on Capitol Hill. I thought you would be a Democrat. If I had thought you were going to be an independent, I would have never supported you. Henceforth, I will not contribute one dime to your campaign. There are 5 registered Democrats in my family. Yours truly, my wife, and my 3 children. I will strongly encourage them not to vote for you in the next election. Needless to say, you need not expect campaign contributions from any of us. Please remove my name from your mailing list. This is an individual who believes that because he gave me $625, he owns my vote. This is an individual who believes that because of a campaign contribution, somehow I have to do exactly what he says. Is that or is that not a bribe? And is it any different than the incredible corruption that has consumed and controlled Washington, D.C. since the day I got there and decades before? I've had union leaders tell me point blank, we are not going to contribute to your campaign unless you vote for this health care bill. Is that or is that not a bribe? At the heart of everything we face in this country today, at the heart of the destruction of our democracy, at the heart of our inability to solve our problems, at the heart of the inability for us to actually pass to the next generation of Americans something greater than we received from our parents, is the incredible corruption of money in politics today. It makes me weep when I realize our nation is being destroyed from within. With absolute BS like I have lived for the past 5 days. The attempted destruction of my family and me. The slurs. I had someone stop me in Wegmans. Hey, Mr. Massa, are you gay? And you know, I looked at him and I said, that's none of your goddamn business. Because in 2011 and 2010, to try to nail somebody for such allegations is obscene. We are a better and bigger country than that. And oh, by the way, ask my wife. I think she can answer that question. But I have gay staff members. I make no bones about it. I love many of them like sons. In fact, I love some of them like brothers. And yes, I use the word love because I'm a human being. But if people will get out of their minds perverted connotations of some kind of ridiculousness, they'll understand that we are all human beings. I was caught just recently embracing my chief of staff. Both of us were in tears. I couldn't see the wall I was looking at. And another staff member came in, and you know why I was crying? Because I was trying to find the strength to come to Hornell and go to the family who had just lost their son and figure out what it was I was going to tell them. And somehow, that's perverse. This is what the country does to their elected leaders. You have my apology and you have my resignation because I'm a human being. But I will not go quietly into the evening. I will not be ashamed of my actions other than the fact that I used inappropriate verbal, V-E-R-B-A-L language. And I was set up for this from the very, very beginning. If you think that somehow they didn't come after me to get rid of me because my vote is a deciding vote in the health care bill, then ladies and gentlemen, you live today in a world that is so innocent as to not understand what's going on in Washington, D.C. The leadership of the Democratic Party have become exactly what they said they were running against. They have become exactly what we all ran against. You cannot effectively govern this country without the consent of the governed. The entire nation has said, let's rewrite the health care bill. Let's find what we can agree upon. No. We're going to ram this down the throats of the American people, and anyone who stands in the way of doing that is going to be smeared, and they're going to be kicked out of Congress. And we're going to have people like Steny Hoyer lying in the press. House Majority Steny Hoyer said Wednesday he was told the week of February 8th by a staff member in Massa's office about allegations of misconduct. Never said a word to me. You don't have to say a word to me. I admit it. I used improper language. I held myself to a higher standard and I failed. And there's no doubt about it. And for those of you who think that somehow I'm making up this reality that I face every day about being a cancer survivor. Come here, Nigel. Look at this. What am I holding?
Eric, you're actually holding an X.
And we don't know whether it's a tumor, we don't know whether it's scar tissue. So for those of you who think I'm making it up, you live in a universe that I can't address. And I don't know how to address it. So yeah, Eric Massa's probably not going to go back to Congress, because the only way I would ever go back there is as an independent. Because a pox on both parties. A pox on both political forces. This nation has so profoundly lost its way. The problems we face in this country are huge beyond contemplation. And for those of you who go to Tea Party rallies and rail against your government about a deficit, where have you been for 8 years? And why is it that you support going to war in Afghanistan and spending $1 trillion to rebuild a corrupt government when that's more money than over 50% of the states combined have in their own state budgets here in the United States of America? You can't go and just rail against deficit spending because you hate President Obama. You have to go there with some solutions and answers. Our government is broken beyond repair. It is, in fact, that simple. And I haven't named anyone here except the people that the press has named, because I have deep respect for my staff. Even those who would try to turn against me. I don't even know who they are. Nor do I want to know. It is what it is. But I'll be darned if they're going to smear me. My name's Eric Massa, and for 14 months, I've had the high honor of representing this congressional district and doing my darndest. And it wasn't good enough. And for that, I apologize. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Eric. Washington Week in Review is a daily presentation, a weekly presentation of WKPQ 105.3, Power 105. Go to the phones?
Yeah. People are calling in. They're kind of ringing off the hook.
All right.
I got to catch my breath.
All right. Good morning. You're on the air with Eric Massa.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Who is this, please?
This is Brent B.A.
Hi, Brent. How are you this morning?
Oh, pretty good. As you well know, I've been a longtime supporter of you. You probably don't remember because you have lots of supporters.
Well, that's very kind of you to say this morning.
And I also just want to tell you briefly that for my money, you did a great job.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. I appreciate that.
And I wish you the best of health.
Well, we got that battle to fight, but I fight that every year.
Yeah, well, let's hope that it'll come to an end where you don't have to fight it anymore.
Well, for those...
I mean that in a positive way.
Well, thank you. Those of us who face this face it every single day. It never goes away. And very candidly, the stress of a job that requires 28 hours a day and 8 days a week...
Yeah, right.
...doesn't help. And my wife and my doctors have been on me forever. And I don't know what else to do.
Well,
I got to ask you, do you think I should leave?
For health purposes?
No, for the allegations that are being made against me.
Oh, I don't think so. However, that would only aggravate, you know.
But I told you what I did. I am guilty as charged.
Well,
I used improper language.
For cursing?
Yeah.
Jeez. Must be nobody ever gets out into the real world. You hear it all the time.
But it doesn't make it right.
Well, I know it, but you still hear it all the time. I'm sure there's other of your colleagues that are do the same thing.
No, not a single one of them.
Pardon?
Not a single one of them, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, they're all saints, right?
Well, I appreciate your call. It means a lot, and thank you for taking time to buzz in.
Okay, Eric. And good luck to you.
Good luck to us all.
Right.
Yeah, Brent.
Bye-bye.
So how was your week, Bill?
Up and down, I would say.
By the way, I brought something in here. I wanted to just read this real quickly. Remember that story I told you that was a little colorful about my roommate and I on the ship?
I do.
So this is the official fitness report written by my commanding officer about that. Let me just read this to you. During the same time frame. By the way, everybody in the ship knew about this. You can't keep something secret like that. Lieutenant Commander Massa's performance throughout this intense reporting period has continued to be absolutely superb. A most impressive naval officer, he has flawlessly led his 100-man department in completing a demanding, pressure-packed deployment. And specifics and accomplishments include earned my recognition as Jewett's nominee for the Comcrudes Group 5 Ship Handler of the Year, awarded his third Navy Achievement Medal by Commander Carrier Group 1 for his superb performance as a tactical action officer. Lieutenant Commander Massa has maintained his weapons systems and unparalleled levels of material readiness. As senior watch officer, his intense drive provided a great deal of impetus to the junior officers. Lieutenant Commander Mass is an outstanding officer in all respects, tenacious and flexible. He can always be counted upon to come through under pressure or in difficult situations. He is ready now for assignment as a surface combatant executive officer and has my unqualified recommendation for such an assignment. His performance has been far superior to that normally seen by his peers, and he has my highest recommendation for accelerated promotion to the rank of commander ahead of his contemporaries. And that is signed by my former commanding officer, Captain Jay Nagin. Do you think for a moment if there was any impropriety of any kind whatsoever that my commanding officer would have written that?
I think the key word was tenacious. I kind of liked that. It was very descriptive. Let me ask you a question or two. If you were to go back to Washington as an independent, do you think you could approach the office in a different way?
That's absolutely. I could tell both parties to go fly a kite.
I know. But the thing is that you do work 28 hours a day. And you can't do that anymore.
Here's the issue. I think, Bill, you and I talked about we may go a little long today.
Sure.
So
we're going to
I want to take all the calls we can.
And we may go over an hour. Good morning. You're on the air with Eric Massa.
Hello. I'd just like to call in. Mr. Massa, honestly, I didn't vote for him, and the reason I didn't vote for him last time around was because I'm not a person that goes with change, but I do think he's done a good job. I'd say an excellent job. I'll even give him that. But being a centralist person, I do think that was a fitting thing that he was a centralist congressman. And I'll be honest with you, Eric, I don't think you should leave Congress. I think you should declare yourself an independent and tell the rest of them to screw themselves.
Well, wait. Now, if I used that word, they'd open up an ethics investigation against me.
Well, if I'm military, I'm not military, and I'm a Marine, I'm going to try to Semper Fi and don't let them get away with that.
Semper Fi, and God bless you, sir, and thank you for your call.
Yep, you're welcome.
Could you cut back your schedule? Because the doctors,
yeah, you can, and here and here's here. Let me tell you another story that came out as a result of all this brouhaha. It came back to me that it was horrible that I got drunk in my own home. I spent 7 hours on the phone raising money. I did. You get on the phone and you and you call and call and call and call and call and call. And at the end of the day, I was pounding some beers. In fact, I drank about a six pack in an hour. And then I walked from the townhouse, which is four blocks away, back to my... I was guilty of WWI, walking while intoxicated. And they said, that's so uncongressional. And this is what comes out when they do these ethics investigations. Because you're under such incredible pressure to raise millions and millions of dollars, and it's the party that theoretically raises it for you. They've got you in a vice grip. I guarantee you there's not a single member of the Democratic freshman class who is going to vote against this health care bill now that they got me. Not unless they get absolute permission. And they will rack and stack the districts, and they'll say, oh, look, this guy is plus or minus 1%. Okay, we're going to let you go. And that's how it's done.
Your doctors are going to grab you by the neck and say,
"They'll grab me by something."
They must cut back your schedule. You must cut back your schedule. Would you be comfortable doing that?
Only if I thought that I wasn't doing something to the detriment of my constituents. What's up, Nigel?
Oh, I was just going to say, just to refresh what you've done in the last 14 months. How many of the municipalities within the congressional district have you visited?
Oh, about 70% of them. So but not, I mean, these aren't drive-bys. We go there and we sit for hours. We do town hall meetings that last for hours.
If you were to review in conversations with your colleagues, dare I use that word, in the House, and you talk about the various town hall meetings.
Two or three a year.
Yeah.
Total.
So on a percentage basis of achieving the objective, which is to represent your congressional district, you probably on a much more significant percentage of success than these other individuals.
If you gauge it by trying to vote in a manner that represents what you're hearing at town hall meetings, I feel very comfortable with that.
And the whole point is, you talked about that you read that letter from the gentleman in Pittsford explaining why he wasn't going to vote for you again. The whole point is, you cannot at any one time please all of the people all of the time.
Certainly didn't please this guy. I thought you'd be a Democrat. I certainly didn't think you'd be an independent voice on Capitol Hill.
Well, the issue we have in politics nowadays is so divisive. You actually have a Republican Party that's split about three different ways. You have a Democratic Party that's split about three different ways.
But they're both a pox on both houses because they are both begging at the door of money. And when union leaders come to me from some of the largest unions who have been strong supporters of mine because I support working men and women and literally tell me, we will only donate to your campaign if you vote for this health care bill, that is a bribe. I mean, there's no other way to discuss it.
And on the subject of the health care bill, I glanced at the television this morning. You know, I've been trying to keep abreast of what's going on as much as possible. And the interesting thing was when they were talking about the number of uninsured American citizens in this country and the effects of the House bill and the Senate bill. Now, am I correct in assuming that the Senate bill was supposedly going to pick up 31 million additional uninsured people, whereas the House bill, which you voted no for, was in fact only going to pick up 3 million people.
So here's the reality. At this point, nobody knows. Nobody understands. You can't sift yourself through all the various details because of things like the Nebraska Compromise, because of things like $100 million to build a hospital in Connecticut, because of one little line item stuck in. The American people have lost faith in this piece of legislation, and if we pass this bill using reconciliation, it will tear this country to pieces. It will rip this country asunder. And I have made this argument over and over and over and over again with House leadership. I have said, we are supposed to be, as Democrats, the party of unity. We are supposed to be the party that builds consensus. We're supposed to be the party that governs equally, without malice towards anyone. We're supposed to be the ones that find the solutions, but instead of actually trying to find the solutions and writing a piece of legislation that will get you a 90% solution with 70% agreement among the American people, they are going to ram this bill down the throats of this country, and it is going to rip this nation politically to pieces, and it'll be a generation before we recover.
Well, you talked about the Senate, the senator from Nebraska, with his supposed agreement. I would hazard a guess that maybe if Rahm Emanuel had come to you and say, "Okay, Congressman, we're going to give everybody in the 29th congressional district,"
they did come
free
to me.
Health, free
I
health.
Sat with a member of Congress who came and said, "Is there anything we can do to get you to vote for this bill?" And I'll tell you what I told him. Go ahead. Someone's calling in. Oh, did we lose him? I just asked the caller to call back. There they are.
Good morning. You're on the air with Eric Massa.
Good morning. This is Hugh.
Good morning, Hugh.
I spoke to you. I was the last caller last week.
Okay.
We discussed my health issues.
Yes, sir.
And now I discover yours. And you don't know how saddened I am. I really admire you. I think you've been a very brave man, and I hope you continue to be. And I don't care how you run in the future. I will vote for you. I will support you. And I want to see you again. But first of all, I want you to be well.
Well, first off, that means a great deal to me. And I, in my heart of hearts, health-wise, I think I'm going to make it. Because I've had I've had several health cancer scares since I've had cancer, and you live with it every single day. But somebody was on the blog saying I was making all this up.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring in the films and show people. Obviously, you can't show it on radio, but the people here in the studio can see it, and to address some of the absolute salacious nonsense that is out there, that. You know, they brought lawyers in. They took my staff members into a room, and they grilled them for 3.5 to 4 hours. And the first question they asked them was, "Do you think Congressman Massa is gay?" Now the allegation was that
gross. That is so gross. It's not even worth commenting on.
But this is so. Let me ask you something. So what if I was?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, this is, in this day and age, I feel about this the same way I think I would have felt about civil rights in the 1960s.
Yep.
If someone had challenged me, "Why are you marching with those African Americans? Are you a black American?" I would have said, "So what if I am?"
Yeah, I know.
Why do you even have to answer that question in the year 2010?
I know.
That's an issue between me and my wife. And trust me, she knows the answer.
Well, you know, that is not even an issue that is worth discussing. It's just gross to me that they would even bring that up.
But these are our official representatives of the United States Congress, and then they threaten you with an investigation, and their rules are they can go anywhere they want. Anywhere. It's not like a normal investigation where they can only ask somebody. There's been an allegation that Mr. Massa made inappropriate remarks. Have you ever heard of making inappropriate remarks? In a normal proceedings, that's all they're allowed to ask. No, it's, well, you know, go get Mr. Massa's checkbook. What did he do when he was in the Navy? What happened when he was in high school? Did, you know, when he was 16 years old in New Orleans, he worked at a bar. Oh, wait a minute. That's okay, because in Louisiana, there was no drinking age in 1974. I mean, this is the nonsense that the American people don't know about their government. Our government is broken beyond repair. And now, they're going to pass this health care bill. And the only way to stop it is to get this story on Fox News and through every major media outlet to let the American people know just how they're going to pass this health care bill.
Well, you're proving one more time that our politicians are not, they may be SOBs, but they're not sweet old boys.
No.
So I want to wish you well, and I want you to run again. I want you to run for office.
Well, God bless you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, you.
Bye-bye.
It's been a tough week.
That could be the understatement of the decade.
You know, I have a friend here. I can't even talk about it without crying. I have a friend here in Horna. He's a new friend. His whole family are friends. And we became friends because I bear some of the responsibility for the death of his son. Because I had a hand in recommending to Zach Smith that he enlist in the United States Marine Corps. And Nigel knows this. Nigel's daughter is a good friend of Zach's wife. I don't remember. They all came here after one of the shows, the whole gaggle of them.
Yeah, it's a very tight community.
And they asked me, you know, should he go in the Corps? And I said, absolutely. Absolutely. And when I got the news through my chief of staff, who was a native of Hornell, Joe Ricalto, I came undone. It all came back to me. Beirut, everything came back to me. And I came undone. I really did. And I have kept this picture under the glass in my office since that day. To remind me, this is a copy of the Corning Leader from January 30th. It's an article, A Marine's Body Coming Home Today, Marine Lance Corporal Zachary Smith. And it's been on my desk under my glass. You know, I have a glass blotter there. To remind me just what the tarnations I was doing in the U.S. Congress. And to be attacked the way I've been attacked by my own friends. I mean, Steny Hoyer had dinner with my family in Corning. He sat with my wife and children. Looked them in the eyes, told them what a great member of Congress I was, and yet here he says, unprecedented for the House Majority Leader to take an ethics investigation allegation public. It has never been done ever. And it was done with malice aforethought. It was done on purpose. And I didn't even know about it until this morning when I read this article. Because I haven't been looking at the press. I haven't been reading the newspapers. Goodness knows I haven't been going on the internet.
You're up.
I'll just ask you two questions. Can I say that? I probably can't say that on the air. Eric, just to clear once and for all, categorically, we had a bit of a conversation beforehand. You are quite prepared, I'm sure, to state unequivocally that you have been thrown under the bus because of your vote on healthcare, so they can actually get the healthcare vote through, and you genuinely and specifically believe that this is the reason for the situation you currently find yourself in.
I think it's better that others arrive at that conclusion rather than I do.
Oh, that's a fair comment, and I understand your answer there. But I had conversations...
Obviously, I am not an unbiased commentator in this issue. I think there's some clarity that I got some skin in this game. And so it's not for me to try to convince people of that, because at its core, Nigel, I go back to this. I am guilty of using language I am sure that would turn someone's hair white. But it's in the it was in the privacy of my own home and in the privacy of my inner office. And in January, I said something that was out of bounds. I said I had to go, let me just put it this way, I had to go lick lollipops to raise money. Now, you can use your imagination to know what I actually said.
That's why my hair is so gray.
Yeah, so, inappropriate. And I actually had someone on the staff say, you know, come on now, boss. And I said, you're right, I'm sorry. And I wrote a document and directed the chief of staff to have every member of my staff sign it. And I was the first signature. And it was a document to hold us to a higher standard in my office and in my own personal behavior. And and it's on file. I mean, it's a public document. I had every member of my, because I felt badly that I had said something around, you got to remember, a congressional staff is very much like a family. They really are. They are your innermost confidants. They are the people that you live. When I was interviewing some aides, this also came out that I may have offended somebody. I had somebody who wanted to be my staff aide. This is someone who was with me literally 24 hours a day. You wake up and he's standing there with your clothes. because you don't have time to pick out your clothes and put them on. I'm not kidding you. And so I chose a guy. Obviously, I can't have a gal doing it because we'd share hotel rooms. Heck, sometimes we'd have to get a hotel room. There'd only be one king-size bed. And instead of sleeping on the floor, I'd sleep above the covers. He'd sleep below the covers. I mean, it's the oldest trick in college. This is something we've been, who cares? And by the way, I didn't care whether any of my staff members were gay, straight, purple, Martian, earthlings, or from the moon. I don't care.
Well, apparently you didn't care if they were Welsh because you've allowed me to be on your committee.
Well, and those people would live and sleep and eat and breathe, and they would drop me off at home, and literally, I'd be so tired I wouldn't know where I was. They made sure that I took the medicine I had to take. They made sure I took my vitamins. Because I was never able, at that level of intensity, especially during a campaign, to focus on those kinds of niceties.
Well, can I ask you, what is the...
It's the most intimate relationship. By the way, I did this for a four-star general for 4 years. I was Wes Clark's military aide. There was nothing that he experienced that I didn't experience.
What has been the feeling within your office staff, apart from the obvious?
Well, I don't know, because when they were doing these staff inquiries, I did the exact thing I had to do. I put a wall between myself and my staff so nobody could say I was trying to influence anybody about anything, because I didn't know what was going on. I asked a specific question over and over and over again. Is this an ethics investigation? No, it's not. No, it's not. Well, go back and double check. No, it's not.
I'm not. Both Bill and myself have been avidly contacting both yourself and Joe Ricalto at every opportunity, and I actually have a text message from Joe referring to what's happening down there, saying they're eating him alive. It must be absolutely devastating to all of your crew, because again, you have run such a tight ship and you've been a very close bond with all of your office staff. I mean, I've met several of the of your staffers in the studio, very pleasant guys, all of them, and met some of the lady members of your staff as well, and they must all be feeling absolutely devastated by what's happened. And not knowing what's going to happen next.
But this I don't know. And I don't know who it is who said anything positive or negative about me. I don't know. I hold malice towards nobody. Even if somebody stood up and said, I think Eric Massa ought to go because he said the word frack. Okay, I get it. I don't hold any malice against that person. I really don't.
Well, I mean, we've already had within the White House over the years many scandals of a... dare I say, sexual nature.
Well, I never met Marilyn Monroe, let me tell you that.
So, what the heck, give me a break. You do hold yourself to a higher standard in public, but when you are in the
Nigel,
privacy...
I failed. The front page
in public.
The Spectator says it all right here. It says, this is the first newspaper, by the way, I've really looked at. Right here it is. I own this reality. I mean, it's my fault, folks. It's nobody else's. And I'm not blaming anybody else at all. But the reality is, when I woke up this morning and realized that according to Roll Call newspaper, which is right here, my son printed it out for me, Massa's resignation, good news for health bill backers. It's not me writing it. This is Roll Call newspaper. Stephen Dennis, March 5th, 7:55 p.m. Silver lining for Nancy Pelosi. I mean, it goes on to say, we had Neil Abercrombie, who voted for the bill. He's not in Congress anymore because he resigned his seat to go run to be the governor of Hawaii. We had the very tragic death of Jack Murtha. By the way, let me show you something here. Come on over here, Nigel. Where's my book? Pick that book up for me. I can't reach down there. That way, maybe I can. Here it is. This goes back. You talk about memories. This goes back to the USS New Jersey, 1983. This is a congressional delegation. That's Jack Murtha, right there. And I was his military escort officer when I was a Lieutenant JG in 1983.
Yes, it's actually quite interesting because...
And that's Congressman Spratt, who's the head of the... he's a very senior member. Over there, Sylvester Reyes. These guys have been there since 1983. She passed away. That's Tilly Fowler. Very tragically, she was from Florida. and was a wonderful person, and it's very, very sad she passed away. I don't know him, and I can't tell who that is.
But it's interesting to look at these pictures on the timeline, and I'm remembering when people were saying that you were a professional campaigner and that you really didn't have any right to be there. Your experience actually is so in-depth, above and beyond probably most other congressmen sitting in the House today anyway.
I think we got someone calling in.
Good morning, you.
Oh, you got to press the... There.
Good morning, you're on the air with Eric Massa.
Hi, this is... I'm a member of your district.
Good morning.
Good morning, and I'm very sorry to hear that you're resigning. And but I also just wanted to defend the health care bill because I think, you know, it's unfortunate. I agree that we are not getting a single-payer health care bill, but on the other hand, there are many good things about this health care bill, and I think, you know, I don't know whether the Democrats are forcing you out because of this, but you did run as a Democrat, and, you know, I think when you were running, you told us that you would make a difference because you would bring a majority of Democrats to Congress.
So you agree with the guy by the way, there are good things in this health care bill, and I've been saying on this show and in public for 9 months, well, 7.5, that we ought to take the good things out of the bill and vote on them independently, straight up and down. Do I believe it's absolutely immoral to be able to precondition somebody based on pre-existing medical conditions and deny them health insurance? Absolutely. Let's have a straight up and down vote on that. You know, all in favor, say aye. By the way, the health insurance companies don't want that, so they're channeling money to members of the Republican Party to vote against it. But in the light of day, they can't vote against that, just like they can't vote last week or 2 weeks ago now, whenever it is we did it, to rescind the Sherman antitrust law monopolies. We had a straight up and down vote passed by 400 votes. We could get 90% of this bill with incredible unifying popularity of the American people if we just voted on these elements that we all agree upon.
Except that if you vote on that element, then the insurance companies will have to raise.
So here's what you, right. So here's what you do to balance that.
If you don't have the mandatory health, you know, if people don't have to buy into it, then only sick people will buy into it, and insurance companies are right that they can't make a go of it if that's the case.
So there's two pieces to that to solve it. First, you give insurance companies true interstate portability, and second, you allow Americans who can't get health insurance anywhere else to buy into Medicare. And by the way, that simple statement, allow Americans who can't get insurance anywhere else to buy into Medicare, passes of popularity by more than 85%. But
yeah,
instead of that...
There won't be any Americans who can't get health care anywhere else, because if we make a law that they have to be able to get... I mean, if we say to the insurance companies, you can't refuse anybody, then those people are not going to be in Medicare. They're going to be in the insurance... You know, getting insured. And what happened in California with Blue Cross Blue Shield going up 39%, that happened because not enough young and healthy people are buying into the system.
No, ma'am, that happened because a private for-profit insurance corporation was driven by incredibly large, massive amounts of greed.
Well, that's true.
You and I are going to disagree on this, and by the way, you win, because I'm not going to be in Congress.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Congratulations. I mean, now the bill will pass, you'll get your wishes, this nation will be ripped to pieces, and I happen to think it is absolutely positively wrong in a country based on individual freedoms to pass a law that tells you that you have to buy a private health insurance policy from a private insurance for-profit corporation that will turn around and raise your rates anyway, because there's absolutely no control on costs in the bill whatsoever, and we'll find that out in about 2 years when it happens. And this is the problem, because you simply can't go down the road of saying, for the love of goodness, we have to pass something. Because as soon as you're willing to say, we have to pass something, we will end up passing anything, which is what's going to happen now. And we will rue this day. Smart people like yourself, who have been very involved in this, are going to wake up in 18 months and say, wait a minute, that's not what I wanted. I didn't know that was in there. No one told me that was the case.
Well, I mean, I certainly don't think the bill is perfect. I'm like you. I really would advocate a single-payer system. But on the other hand, I think that given the political realities of the day, when the Republicans paint this bill as being socialist, what are we supposed to do?
We're supposed ought to vote on the individual problems we have in health care.
But the individual problem, we can't do
yes,
that.
Yes, we can.
Because nobody will agree to have those individual...
Ma'am, we just did it. We just did it. We passed a single issue to rescind the Sherman antitrust law monopoly law.
That was huge.
We did it. Don't tell me we can't do it. We just did it.
In health care, we can't do it because...
That has to do with health care. It's regulation of the private health insurance industry. I think the two are connected somehow.
Well, that's... Yeah, but...
But so. You said you can't do it. We just did it. But unfortunately, what happens is that the power of the private for-profit health insurance industry, which has bought the United States Congress lock, stock, and barrel, owns the tires, the axles, the engine, the transmission, the body, and the upholstery, have made it impossible for good-thinking, smart people like you to even get so much as one word in edgewise on the debate. And yes, I do think that eventually single-payer health care will happen because the system will collapse under its own weight. But I know very well, perfectly well, that we weren't going to get that. We were told we weren't going to get that, but I'll be darned. I'll be darned if I support something that I believe in my heart and soul, backed up by facts, will make the situation worse. But you've been very, very kind to call. I appreciate you calling. I think we've spoken before, and I wish you good health.
I wish you the same.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
I mean, so there's someone who says, you ran as a Democrat, you have to vote the party line. I'm sorry, I don't vote the party line. Go ahead.
Good morning. You're on the air with Eric Mess. Some things never change.
Hey, it's Randy Weaver. How are you today?
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Well, good. And Eric, I wish you, after listening to the last hour, I think it's fair to say that, number one, the district's going to be far worse without you. And number two, I don't think we've heard the end of you yet, so I hope not. And I just wanted to call and wish you the best.
What do you mean you haven't heard the end of me?
Well, I think with the passion I've just heard all for the last hour that you're still going to be around.
Well, I hope I'm around. I mean, I got a wife and kids.
And I mean, around is still making a...
But unless, unless I rescind my resignation, which is effective at 5 o'clock on Monday, I won't be serving in the United States Congress.
You won't be serving, but I think you'll still be helping direct some policy and some influence in the area. Which
no, I'm done. I'm going to let somebody else up on stage. I mean, and by the way, it'll probably be somebody from the Northern Tier, probably from Rochester, who doesn't know and doesn't care where Hornell is.
Then that's what I'm most fearful of.
So good luck, Brian Miller, who, by the way, writes some of the most incredibly hypocritical diatribes against me. This is a man who calls me a socialist, and yet he is on a government pension. This is a man who says that you shouldn't get any kind of government-paid health care, and yet he's getting his health insurance from the state of New York, which, oh, by the way, is bankrupt. This is the kind of nonsense that we put up with in America today that has made this country functionally ungovernable.
I'm with you.
Randy, I wish you good health and God bless.
All right, you too, Eric.
Not to add fuel to the fire, but allow me to toss a little branch on, just for the heck of it. Pennsylvania. Travel with me now to Pennsylvania.
It's not that far.
Not that far, just across the border.
Can't you take us somewhere more exotic?
Nah, we'll settle for Pennsylvania right now. And the Boy Scouts of America.
BSA.
Nobody can say anything bad about the Boy Scouts of America. By golly. Young man working on his eagle. Everybody knows what an Eagle badge is.
Eagle Scout.
Eagle Scout and Boy Scouting. Spent 200 hours near Allentown clearing a trail. Just a walking trail, and he was getting this all done for his Eagle Scout badge. And in walks the Service Employees International Union.
SEIU.
After the 200 hours, of course. Threatening now to file a grievance. Because there are no volunteers allowed to work on that trail, even young Boy Scouts. To be continued. Dun, dun, dun!
So sometimes local regulations are absolutely positively off the charts. I just got a text message from my chief of staff. He says, stop trashing constituents, because I actually stood up to Brian Miller. Here's a newsflash, guys. I'm not running for office. I get to be a private citizen now. I mean... I don't got to take it anymore. I mean, this is the news of the day. I can't tell you how much I tried to help. And then I look at the letters to the editor that just only recently come in, my chief of staff, who's always thinking about my image, says stop trashing constituents. God bless you, Joe, but I'm not going to be a congressman as of 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. The only way to stop that is for me to rescind my resignation. That's the only way to stop it. And the only way that's going to happen is if this becomes a national story. I mean, you talk about being thrown under the bus. I love you, Joe, but sooner or later, I got to be able to stand up for myself and attack those who attack me. It's human. It's what I am. And if anybody has ever said to me, we like you, they always say we like you because you are who you are. I can't be anybody else.
Well, you said about trashing your constituents. Actually, Joe knows full well the letters and articles written by this certain individual against you. And
yeah, I will not be named.
Who I don't think you've actually trashed him. I think you just stated your opinion, and good for you. It's nice the gloves can come off at last.
607-324-1596.
Joe just threw his cell phone across the room.
It's a...
I know he did. Listen, Joe Ricalto's like a brother to me. I'm not kidding you. For those of you who know Joe, he has a very colorful high school past in Hornell, to say the very, very least. I mean, he probably has the most colorful high school past I've ever had associated with anyone. Go ahead and take this call coming
in. He worked for my radio stations.
And so I'm surprised it wasn't burned to the ground.
O'Reilly.
Good morning. You're on the air with Eric Massa.
Hi. Are you really... I think you need to call Fox. You need to get on the air and tell Bill O'Reilly what's going on and stand up for the people in that did this. It's totally wrong.
Well, first off, thank you very much. I can hear the emotion in your voice, and this has been a very, very difficult hour for me. And I share that with you. But I can't call Fox News. You guys got to call Fox News. I can't do it. I mean, I can't.
Really?
Yes, and here's why. I'm in the center of this storm, so obviously I'm not objective. It's not me. I mean, let me put it this way. Did you raise children? Did you raise kids? Have you raised children, if I could just ask?
I didn't hear you, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, did you raise children?
Yeah, I have three.
So when they came to you and said, I think this is happening to me and it's wrong, it was much less powerful than if someone else came to you and said, someone's doing this to your kid. I'm in the center of this storm. And as of 5 o'clock tomorrow, you're going to be without a congressman because, frankly, they want to pass this health care bill. And that's the way it is. And I can't stop that. Because,
absolutely.
Ma'am, I'm guilty.
Absolutely disgusting.
Well, yes, but it is what Washington, D.C. has become. You know, and I bear the responsibility of my behavior. I don't want anyone saying I'm trying to dodge this bullet. I don't want anyone saying that I'm trying to blame someone else, because I'm not.
No, not at all.
I obviously offended somebody on my staff. Obviously, because they went to the ethics committee and said I offended them. I don't know who it is. I don't even know exactly what it is I said to them that offended them. I don't get to know that. That's not part of the game. But I appreciate your call, and I wish for you good health.
Well, I wish you good health also. I'm so sorry.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Take care now.
Just for the record, I'd like to say that if nominated, I will not accept. If elected, I will not serve.
And I have to ask you
this. On the record.
Go ahead and use the microphone over here.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to offend anybody by sharing the same mic.
That's okay. Yeah.
This is Mike Berry in the studio today.
I was just curious. All the healthcare and everything going on.
Full disclosure, he is my nephew.
What's it not like you?
So if I say something stupid, nothing else needs to be said.
Yeah, blame the gene pool.
It's genetic.
I would like to know, though, with all the healthcare and everything going on and the votes and everybody bickering and everything like that, does Congress really expect the American people to take them seriously when they themselves vote for their own personal health care? And I know you've talked about this before, but how can you take...
I don't know, because I don't have that health care.
How can you... I know you're one of how many?
Two, I think.
So, what...
I don't have an answer for you. On my second day in Congress, I went to the floor of the House of Representatives, maybe it was the third day, and I refused to accept the Congressional Health Care Benefits Plan because I didn't think it was right for members of Congress to be able to receive something that the American people at large cannot have access to. I think it's just fundamentally wrong.
WKPQ, Hornell.
And so I didn't accept it. I just got one of these great hands. It's so sophisticated around here. Bill holds up his hands like, you know, waving. Stop, stop, I got to say the hour break.
I am the director.
You are the director. You're definitely in charge. And I don't know how to tell you. I'll tell you this.
I find it kind of hypocritical, don't you?
I'm not allowed to use that word because I'll get turned in for an ethics violation. But here's the bottom line. If the Democratic Party becomes what it is they campaigned against and ram this health care bill through on reconciliation, even if they have every procedural right to do so, it will rip this country to pieces. And I don't want to see that. I'm a very proud Democrat. I believe that government can do good for the governed. I really do. By the way, at the core, that's what the Democratic Party is about. It really is. That's where you have the philosophical arguments. Is government the enemy of the people, or can it do good for the people? And I think it can do good for the people, but if they ram this health care bill through, which apparently they're going to do now, because I'm not going to be there to vote against it, then it's going to rip this country to pieces.
I've got a question to ask. You know, this has been a most revealing hour. Both Bill and myself...
Why? Because you found out that I participated in a ceremony with garbage and saltwater hoses? And
I'm surprised I haven't seen the pictures before.
I crossed the equator. Yeah. You was no surprise to me.
Yeah, were you on a Navy ship when you did?
I was not. I was on a private vessel.
Was it like a cruise boat or something?
It was.
But you guys had some kind of a small ceremony.
We did.
Yeah. I mean,
it wasn't small.
Oh, I see. Well, these things get very, I mean, looked at through the lens of 2010, a crossing the line ceremony in 1983 is equivalent to Caligula's orgy. I mean, it's absolutely, people would go, you got to be kidding me. What have I just beamed into? What was the name of that TV show where the guy would jump from time zone to time zone, leaping, Quantum Leap. Quantum Leap. My wife liked that because she thought that Scott Baklava, was that his name?
Scott Baklava. Baklava is a Russian dessert, I think, Baklava.
Well, yeah, whatever his last name. We've got another call.
Good morning, you're on the air with Eric Massa. Good afternoon.
Wolfie.
Yes.
This is Bomber. I just want to talk to you.
Hello, Bomber. We're still on the air.
You got to take the. Yeah,
all
if you want
to. I'll take the good with the bad then, huh?
All right. We'll call it back in a little bit.
Yep. Bye. I wanted to ask you, too. We haven't had a chance to get to this, but I need to acknowledge your chief of staff, Joe Ricalto. He was kind enough to talk with me, and I don't know how he ever found the time, but we spent about a half an hour on the phone last night, and he clarified for me as best he could some of the incredible complications that exist as we speak in Washington, D.C., including what you've already hit on, the Ethics Committee and so on and so forth. So I won't go back to that.
Let's take this call, then we'll come back to
I'll get
comment.
To that in a minute.
Yeah.
Good morning, good afternoon. You're on the air with Eric Massa.
I'm on the air already. That's great. Hi, my name's Andrew Pleo. I've campaigned door-to-door for Mr. Massa, and I'm calling in to suggest that he does not rescind his resignation. And Mr. Massa, I live in your district, the fighting 29th. I feel you were voted in. You weren't voted out. Navy analogy, please don't jump the ship. You're our captain.
Mm. Well, that's very kind of you, but understand what that means for me. It means that a group of lawyers are going to try to rip me and my family limb from limb, and you've already seen it in the newspapers.
I haven't, but I can only imagine. I haven't read the papers yet.
I mean, it's a piranha feeding frenzy when they say, and they chose the words very, very carefully. They said that it made a male staffer uncomfortable. That's Washingtonese. That's the way they do it. And then so everyone goes, oh, ooh, ah. And like I said, I had a guy at Wegmans come up to me and ask me if I was gay.
And you're going to have that even if you're...
And by the way, if I told you I was gay, would you care? Let me ask you this.
I do care, and I think that uncomfortable is we've all been made uncomfortable in our lives, and it's unfortunate. You've professed that it's, you know, not the most professional statement. I think that everyone on the planet is aware that we've all from time to time presented our flaws publicly, and none of us want to be crucified for it, although there is the shark feeding frenzy. Once they smell blood, they come in for the kill. It is your own personal decision. No, I don't think it's fair to have your family subjected to it. Could certainly understand that as a major reason to do it. I just wanted to share my conviction that I feel we'll be worse without you. There's not many of your caliber, or at least of your competence, to effectively represent us.
Where's home?
There'd be more than just two people running. There'd be 300 people running, and we don't have that, do we? We didn't in the last election.
Where is home for you, sir?
I live in... I just got off my 26-mile bike ride. I was listening to you and fuming to make this call before you got off the air. I'm up in Wayland. I'm a transplant from Long Island up here, but whatever.
Well, thank you.
We've met. I've done the campaign through the ELF, Eric. We've met once or twice.
Well, thank you. And you rode 26 miles on a bicycle?
Talk about you, though.
Well, yeah, but I'm just like...
I'm winded.
Well, I get winded, too, but it's not because I rode 26 miles on a bicycle. It's because I'm blathering all kinds of hot air when I get frustrated and worked up. But I just got to admire you, sir, and I want to say thank you for all your support in the past, and thank you for your kind phone call.
Okay, and if I could point out one other thing. The professor who said if he realized you were an independent wouldn't have supported you. You know, I'm not a professor, and I'm going to say that I barely graduated because I did, but meeting you, I already know that I was, that you're a person of your own personal convictions. And that kind of, it's indicative of his lack of integrity as a professor to not see that in you. So shame on him.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your kind words.
All right, great. Thanks for listening, and I hope others also call in. I wanted them to call in to ask you to at least reconsider it, but you made a good point with what your family would be subjected to.
Thank you,
thanks,
sir.
And best of health to you.
Best of all.
Can I ask you a question, Eric?
Sure.
You know, we've had the privilege of doing this program now for...
3 years.
About 3 years. We started, we talked about it, I don't know if it was over beer sometime, whatever, we concluded it was a good idea to do
it.
Yeah,
you and I had a beer together, so write me up.
Yeah, and we persuaded you that it would be a good thing to do, and every week, pretty much, you make the statement that, you know, the powers that be in Washington keep telling me I'm nuts to do the radio program. It really is the stupid thing to do. Oh, how the worm has turned, because finally you're able to tell them what you think of them. And I think that they are cursing as we speak. I'm sure that they're on the way to the FCC to pull the plug on WKPQ, because you are actually able to speak frankly and honestly without them able to do anything about it. It's such a refreshing breath of fresh air. You are the only congressman that's had a radio program out of 435, 100 senators. None of them have ever bothered to do a program like this. We've had a huge... a number of callers. I've been getting the text messages from friends and out there today, all of which offer you support. It would be interesting to get the feedback from the political machine as to what they really think about this program today, because this has been an open forum that has given you the opportunity to explain your side of the story, and they don't want that. So good for you, sir.
Well, let me just wrap up here, because we've gone over...
One moment. It's okay if we go over. I have a couple of other things that
okay,
we should
go ahead,
hit on. At 5:01 tomorrow, what happens?
I become unemployed.
Okay.
And Joe Ricalta will be named, I think it's the official title is the caretaker, or let me get the title. He becomes responsible for the day-to-day operation of the office. The clerk of the House becomes in charge of the 29th Congressional District. Obviously, there's no one representing the 29th Congressional District. A decision will be made about a special election or not, and people will start coming out of the woodwork to decide whether they're going to run or not.
It would be an administrator. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's the right word.
Okay, so the...
Let me go back. Joe's going to kill me because I don't have it right here in front of me. Let me see if I can find it here. He sent me a text message with the actual title of what it is. And I got to get this right. Yeah, the administrator for the 29th Congressional District. So, Joe, I will name Joe Ricalto. And the only way to stop that is if I rescind my resignation.
Now, I understand that the special election is probably not going to happen because it's so expensive to mount, and at this point in time, you're very close to the general election. What's your feeling on that?
I don't have a good feeling on that. I think you can probably forgive me for knowing that I really haven't been focused on it. In fact,
I do.
This is the first time I've left my house since I got home. I drove home, and I'll be very honest with people. My staff was very, very worried because I wanted to drive by myself, and I left Washington, D.C. about 7 o'clock or so on Wednesday and drove home in my staff car, and it was a very, very, very difficult and introspective drive, to say the least. Let's take one last phone call.
Okay. And I'll push the right button this time.
Okay.
You're on the air with Eric Massa.
Eric?
Yes.
Rescind the resignation. Let's fight this out to the end.
Well, God bless you, sir. And that's a very nice thing for you to say. And a lot of people have called today and said that. But this is a terribly difficult... I don't even know legally I can. I mean, I think I can. I think I can send a letter saying... because it's not effective until 5 p.m. on Monday.
Correct.
But I think the only way that it could be resent, frankly, is if what is happening here in Western New York State became a national story.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way that it could... that could work. I mean, otherwise people are just going to say that I'm a crazy guy and look at this. And I mean, they're going to say anything you want to say anyway, but you know, I don't know if Fox News or MSNBC or CNBC or will pick this story up, but the Associated Press already has. I mean, see, people say I'm making this up. I woke up this morning and my son handed me, by the way, my son's here in the studio with me. First time he's a college student, first time he's ever come to actually watch me on a radio program, which is a little bit oxymoronic when you think about it. I mean, let's go watch Dad on a radio program. But anyway.
This is in full living color here,
yeah,
by the way, folks.
It's a little bit odd and different. The Associated Press are the ones who are reporting that now that I'm gone, they're going to be able to pass the health care bill. And I let you connect the dots. Because someone said to me, well, do you think that forcing you out is in any way connected to the health care bill? Well, I'll let you guys figure that out.
Maybe.
I don't want to go down that road because, first off, people who are a lot smarter than me are already there talking about this. But if this health care bill passes, if they do this, I genuinely fear for this country. And I know we had a caller who called in and said, but you're a Democrat, you have to vote for this. This is so much bigger than being a Democrat. I mean, this is the continuity and cohesiveness of our society. Well, God bless you for calling, sir.
You're on the air with Eric Massa.
You gotta press that button.
Press the button. Good morning. You're on the air with Eric Massa.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Well, maybe not. They're not there. Well, if you want to call back, go ahead.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
This has been a great day for asking questions. Should you rescind your resignation prior to 5 o'clock on Monday afternoon, then obviously you would remain as the sitting congressman. Does that mean that the Ethics Committee is restarted?
I mean, yeah, because absolutely.
So basically what you do is every day... You resign, and every day at 5 o'clock you rescind, and they wouldn't know what to do. You'd be playing them all over the game.
Let's take this call.
Good morning. You're on the air with Eric Massa.
Hey, Mr. Massa. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. First of all, thanks a lot for your service. Thanks for doing the radio show. It's really gutsy. It makes us all feel, I think, like we have a window into Washington, and we all wish you the best with your help. With that being said, I'm a retired senior chief petty officer, and... I just retired 3 years ago. This whole thing about the crossing the line ceremony, it's a ceremony that's hundreds of years old. We picked it up from the English. It's ridiculous as far as the off-color language and the off-color sense of humor. It's, you know, I was in for 21 years myself. It's what we do, and it's who we are, and it is what it is. We're rough around the edges guys.
Senior, what was your rate, senior?
I was an ITCS. Well, which used to be an RMC.
Sure, RMs. And by the way, for those of you who don't, that's Radio Man Senior Chief in charge of all the communications. Now it's IT. I think it's called Information Technology.
Yes, sir. Because Information Systems Technician.
Information. And so those of us who were engineers, I was a BT. So, I mean.
Very good.
So you know what the difference between an RM and a BT is. I mean, those down in the boiler rooms were a little bit cruder than those up in the radio room.
I think. I think the Navy's the Navy, sir.
Well, you're right, senior. And you know, so for someone to send information to Mr. Lonsberry, who then publishes a blog saying that he has information saying I'm a sexual deviant, and by the way, we've really cleaned up crossing the line ceremonies compared to when you were a recruit back. Let's see, 21 years, that would have put you back in the early 1990s, right?
I joined in 1986.
And then, bingo, you saw it. I mean...
Yep.
What ship were you on? Did you cross the line?
I sure did. I crossed the line on the USS Milius.
Oh, you were on Milius?
Yes, sir.
Good ship.
Yes. But if this is all they have,
It's all they have.
If this is all they have...
Well, I told you the other story, which is kind of personal and embarrassing, but it's true.
Right. It happens.
But you know,
if this is all they have, don't quit over that.
But here's the problem, Senior, and you know, when you have a commanding officer who issues a standing order that this is what we're going to do and not do it, and he doesn't follow his own standing orders, he's got to hold himself accountable.
He does, but you just said yourself that Rahm Emanuel probably has the dirtiest mouth in Washington.
Well, he has more than a dirty mouth. Rahm Emanuel is son of the devil spawn. He is an individual who would sell his mother to get a vote. He would strap his children to a front end of a steam locomotive. And if he doesn't like that, he can come after me personally. Because let me tell you a story about Rahm Emanuel.
I was a
congressman in my first 8 weeks. And I was in the congressional gym, and I went down and worked out. I went into the showers, which, by the way, I, for the life of me, can't figure out why they took all the shower curtains off the shower stalls in the congressional shower. I mean, the last thing I want to look is my fellow colleagues naked, but they don't have any shower curtains down in the gym. And I'm sitting there showering, naked as a jaybird, and here comes Rahm Emanuel, not even with a towel wrapped around his tush, poking his finger in my chest, yelling at me because I wasn't going to vote for the president's budget. Do you know how awkward it is to have a political argument with a naked man?
That's surely
that
sexual harassment.
Right across to me.
It's ridiculous. By the way, what the heck is he doing in the congressional gym? He goes there to intimidate members of Congress.
Right.
And he was very surprised to find out that it was a little bit more. Come on, Senior. Do you think you, after spending 21 years in the Navy and achieving the senior rank of Senior Chief Petty Officer, do you think you're going to be intimidated in a shower stall with a naked man?
No, I think I probably would have hit him.
Well, I didn't hit him. Well, we had words, and he hates my guts. He's hated me since day one, and now he wins. So he'll get rid of me. And
don't let him win.
And this bill will pass, and I don't know what we're going to do in this country.
I hope not. Well, I wish you would. I really wish that you would reconsider. And that's just, you know, letting him win is just going to be horrible. And as far as your health goes, I hope everything works out. And I really hope that politically we haven't heard the last of you. And I am a Republican, and I did not vote for you in the last election, but you have won with your performance my vote in the next election. So I look forward to it, and I hope you change your mind, sir.
Senior Chief, God bless you, and thank you for your service in the U.S. Navy.
Thanks, sir.
Bye. Well, I think that so far, with the callers we've had in and text messages, you've probably got 50%, maybe 51% of the congressional district in your favor at the moment. So should you decide to rescind, you would certainly
Nigel,
win again.
That was not the purpose of today.
I know that.
I started off today very clearly reading my full statement with respect, and I do have a terrible sense of I had to look at my wife and have a very heart-to-heart conversation with her about how I got into this situation. And I've been married for a lot longer than I've done just about anything else in my life. I mean, there's very few things I've done as long as I've been married. And I had to look at her and say, I brought this on my family. I had to look at my children and tell them, I brought this on my family. And it's my fault. I brought this on my constituents. I mean, look at the articles. They're full of salacious allegations about, you know, me approaching. I've told you what I know happened, and I'm sure that more happened, because I don't know, you know, in the privacy of my home what I say, as far as, you know, somebody says, you know, frack you, and I say, well, frack you too. I mean, you know, you can take that anywhere you want. And I'm for that, but I can't live a life as if every single person looking at me is a CNN camera, when I'm not even in a coat and tie. Actually, I keep on saying one last question, but I don't like people not to be able to...
You're on the air with Eric Massa.
Did you press... yes, sir, go ahead. Or ma'am.
Yeah. I find it very strange that you're finally doing exactly what the Democrats want you to do by quitting. I'd stay in there and I'd torpedo this healthcare thing. That's what I would do.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I'm very, very torn about that. And frankly, it wasn't until this morning that I even figured out that there was a connection. I knew
it 2 days ago. I knew what they were doing. Democrats are a big snake, and they're eating themselves right by the tail.
That's an interesting analogy. I'm very torn on this, sir. But you know, if I were to resend my resignation, I guarantee the next thing you would hear was a parade of Democratic leaders saying that I've been out, you know, doing whatever they want to. Anybody could say anything about me. That's the point.
You can indict a ham sandwich. I know all about that, and that's how it works. But you knew that before you went in there. That's what you were getting into.
No, I didn't know it would be. I didn't know it would be this bad. I knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was this bad. I didn't know our government was broken beyond repair. And it wasn't until this morning when I woke up and my kids handed me these news bulletins and said, Dad, you ought to look at this, that I even thought about. I have been in a very dark place for the past 3 days. I'm being very honest with you. I have been incredibly depressed. I went 48 hours without saying a word to anybody. I just sat on the couch and stared at the wall. I mean, and I know that that shows a tremendous weakness in my heart and soul, but this is the hardest thing I've ever faced in my life, except for the fact that, you know, when people died because they were fighting fires, and when I watched my roommate of 4 years get blown up in Beirut, I've never been in such a dark place before. And I've got to tell you, people forget about this. When I walk outside and take a deep breath of cold air, it feels like someone has stabbed me, because my lungs are full of scar tissue from high-intensity radiation treatments. And the cold air, literally, because scar tissue doesn't stretch, and so when you take a deep breath, it pulls on the muscle tissue. I've had the doctors explain this to me, because the first time it happened, I rushed to the hospital. I thought I was going to die. And they said, no, you're going to live with this for the rest of your life. This is going to be a reminder for you to slow down and not work so hard and take care of yourself. And that's Mother Nature's way of telling you that you're not supposed to be alive anyway. You know, do something productive with your life. And I'm not sure this is productive anymore.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. My advice would be to rescind it, move it later, another week. It doesn't have enough time to get legs, and if that's what you're relying on to rescind it, you don't have enough time. So I think you need to go on the Fox News channel or MSNBC. If they won't take you, then you know it's over.
Well, why don't you call Fox News for me?
If Bill O'Reilly was listening to KPQ, which I'm sure there isn't too many people listening to KPQ, You'd be booked right now for his show on Monday.
Well, it's our many faithful listener, of which you are one, and I appreciate your kind remarks.
I also wish to interject there. I suspect we've probably got the best ratings we've ever had today.
So. Yeah, there's at least 7 people listening today. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much.
I think Bill I think he... listens on a regular basis.
I would say, and by the way, I don't agree with everything Bill O'Reilly or any of the talking heads say. I don't.
I hope that Bob Lonsbury's listening, because I had the occasion to listen to his program last Thursday. I was going to Rochester.
Let's take this call before they hang up, and then we'll talk about that.
You're on the air with Eric Massa.
This is James Hall from Cohocton. Can I get on the air with Eric?
You're on the air, James.
Hi, Jim.
Eric, all I can tell you is that there's tremendous support from all the people we're associated with to basically have you remain in office to fight the charges. We can certainly muster together a tremendous number of people in the grassroots level, and to just indicate to you how widespread your dilemma has transported already, Jeff Rintz, one of our radio personality and talk show host that's hosted nationwide, has given you an open forum to use his radio program at any time.
Well, thank you very much, Jim, and I know that we've faced many battles, and by the way, once I'm gone, there ain't going to be anybody to stop the march of these machines. I mean, they're going to go everywhere, so it's a very heavy heart, and it's been a very difficult time for my family, but God bless you, Jim, and good health to you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. We face perhaps what is the most difficult era in America's history. I have come to appreciate that over the past many months. At first, I used to say that this country had faced hard times before, but I didn't understand the complexity of what was going on. And today I understand, by reading the press, how my opposition to a particular piece of legislation may in fact be politically what is behind compounding my own mistakes. that may be the case. I'm not pressure. Other people have said that. It's been pretty widespread reported in the press now. And that means that the leadership of the Democratic Party, of which I am part, has become part and parcel what they campaigned against. And that gives me a very, very heavy heart. I read in the press where my good friend, and he was a good friend, Steny Hoyer, he may still be one day a good friend, said things that are fundamentally not true. No one ever contacted me. The allegations get blown out of proportions. They get painted as being salacious and far more than they were. And in fact, anybody who would have observed anything that would have happened would have said, you know, who cares? But that's not the way it is in politics today, at all, anywhere. Our country and our government is rapidly becoming broken beyond repair. And it causes me, and I'm certain the senior chief who called, and all of us who spent our lives in the U.S. military defending this government and this country that we love so much, great, great concern. And to those who would call and say, but you're a Democrat, you have to vote a certain way, I will tell them that was never the intention of the founding fathers of this country. To create an era where political party was more important than patriotism. To create an era where that's the direction we go. This, by all accounts, is my last transmission. I feel a little bit like Captain Kirk talking about going where no one's gone before. As of 5 p.m., under all probabilities, I will be unemployed. If you know anybody who needs an ice cream scooper, give me a call, because I make a pretty good chocolate float.
I'm going to be a greeter at a box store.
Yeah, I can, well, I'll join you.
I'll be good at it.
You know, I rang the bell at Salvation Army. It's one of my prized pictures right down here in front of Walmart.
I need you to do this show next Sunday.
I don't know if I'm going
to. Oh, you mentioned Walmart. I was actually talking with Dave Konarski, the store manager for the Hornell Walmart, last week, well before this issue came up. And Dave said to me, he said, you know, I didn't vote for Eric Masser, but when he stood outside and was ringing that bell, he said, I can't believe that he did that. Unheralded, unsung, and you gained another supporter, and this obviously is the kind of rank and file support, and I don't mean Dave is rank and file because he's a store manager, but the bottom line is you have a lot more support out there cross-party benches than you certainly do just in the Democrats. There's a lot of Republicans, a lot of independents who've been on your side, and I think with what's been happening today, you've certainly demonstrated once again that you are the perfect representative for our constituency, the 29th District. It's obviously between you and your family, and as it should be, but good luck, mate.
Well,
I'll have a beer with you afterwards.
I want to close now, if I could. I always know it's time for me to go when Bill cues up the music in the background. It's just not too subtle. In the old days when you did vaudeville, they had the cane that came out and grabbed you around the neck. Nowadays, it's the music cueing in the background. I don't know what the future holds for me. I really don't. I mean, I could be dead tomorrow, and it could happen to anybody. I do know that when I walk outside in about 5 minutes and I take a deep breath, I'm going to receive Almighty God's little reminder that my days on this planet are numbered. There's no doubt about it. My lifeline is one that is far more fragile than most, and anyone who's a cancer survivor knows that personally. It's a day-to-day initiative. But, you know, a great author once wrote something that struck me as being terribly true. And I'll paraphrase it because I'm not good at memorizing, and it's a little bit difficult for me, and I might tear up a little bit. They said that it's not the value of the critic who counts. It's the value of the tears of the man in the fight. It's the value of those of us who get up every single day to engage our own demons and the demons of those we love to try to create a better world for tomorrow at any cost against all odds. It's not those who take cheap shots, who blog anonymously, who cite anonymous sources, who make up salacious facts, who will say anything to anyone because they're being pressured by a political party that's 100,000 times bigger than they are for either their own political future, their own personal gain, or just because they're downright scared. That's not what counts in America today. What counts is those of us who wake up every single day and take a deep breath and have a tremendous amount of faith in the country that hundreds of thousands of men and women have fought and died to protect. And if nothing else, I hope that my 14 months in the United States Congress, to my detractors who hate me and to my supporters who love me, I hope that that is the message they take with them. I hope it's what I'm remembered for. God bless you all and good health.
Washington Week in Review is a presentation of WKPQ, Hornell, New York, Power 105.3. Hopefully to be continued.